You're in the 06010.
We are in the 06010.
Oh my goodness, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Is this that hard for you?
Hutch is still singing, and you just yelled at Field for talking over the beautiful dulcet tones of international recording superstar Eric Hutchinson.
I did it between lyrics.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah.
I did
can
it
we roll
lyrics.
The tape?
Please.
Can we roll the tape
can
on that?
Can we start over?
Right, by all means.
Are we live yet or no? We're
I
live?
Think so.
We are live.
That's fine. Start over.
Just give him his last 10 seconds here.
Right. Go ahead. Stop the music right now.
No.
Stop the music right now. Stop it. Okay. 1, 2, 3. Pretend we just heard Haley in our ear saying we're live.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy,
wow. I would rather not have done that again if Matthew was going to dance like that.
Do you care to explain yourself? Would you like to comment on that? The internet exists. That will be on Twitter soon.
Comment on that like you're welcome, baby. I'm like, I'm out here, I'm ripping it up.
Is that like, are you like practicing throwing a football there?
I think
like,
so.
What are you doing?
Hey, I might be.
Hey.
Might be either that.
I'm the backup quarterback for the Washington football team.
Right.
And I'm also a fantasy analyst at ESPN. I'm Matthew Berry. It is Field and Matthew and Daniel. And
I don't know. I feel like rappers do that sometimes. Like,
how old were you when you had your first girlfriend?
What?
How old were you when you had your first girlfriend?
I don't know. How old was I last year? hang on, give me a second. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, 92.
I'm 92. I don't know. That is a good question. Like, my first real girlfriend, my first when I was in second grade, I lived in Atlanta, Georgia for 1 year.
Okay.
It was either second or third grade, but I'm almost second and third grade.
Okay. Had Georgia been founded as a state by that time?
Yes. Okay. All right. Our covered wagon had just gotten in there.
That's fair.
And so, Ann Kelman, wherever you are, Ann Kelman, God bless. We were like, what, a boyfriend, girl? Like, I mean, we were like third grade.
That's
you know what I mean?
Good.
Like, I mean, whatever. Like, I think we sat next to each other in lunch. I think that's what it exists. You know what I mean?
That's what it entails.
Yeah.
That's the rules. You get to sit together at lunch.
Right, at lunch. You know what I mean? But in terms of my first real, real girlfriend, like high school.
Okay.
High school.
Simply, I was just wondering, like, how long a guy with the electric dance moves that you have would need to find.
I will tell you this. I will tell you this. And Stefania Bell, where's Stefania Bell? Is she in the Chateau de Cone? Because she'll back me up on this, Stefania. Because Stefania and I have known each other a long, long time. I've known Stefania longer than either of you two.
Accurate.
And so Stefania and I have known each other almost 14 years. And so Stefania not only has known me during my marriage to my lovely wife, Beth, but she was there for a lot of single years. And Stefania and I have done a number of double dates over the years. And I believe, Stefania, feel free to speak the truth here. Be 100, but I do a lot better than you would think. I outkick my coverage all the time when it comes to dating. Stefania, feel free to respond to that.
I can verify this. No, I can verify this. That is factually correct.
Yeah, nothing more attractive to a woman than a fantasy football analyst.
That's my point. Do you understand? What? I got a dad bod. I'm like, I'm balding. Like, you don't understand? Like,
it works.
I'm socially awkward. Believe me, I have a lot to overcome.
You
and
are
somehow
the total package.
I have. So you know what? Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I'll put my track record up against anyone given the limitations I have.
Well done. All right, let's get to some double trouble.
Double trouble.
Double double
trouble. Trouble.
Double trouble.
Double double
trouble. Trouble.
Double trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
We got that on camera. Okay,
I don't know what
good.
You're doing. That was worse than
oh,
my
please.
Day.
Oh please, it was worse than yours.
Daniel had some rhythm there.
Are you kidding me?
He has some swag.
He had no rhythm whatsoever.
I thought there was a little bit of rhythm.
There's a little bit of rhythm. I got some sway to my step.
You have. Okay, there you go. Haley's gonna put up a full screen of this. All right, go. Yeah,
not of the dancing. She's gonna put up a full screen coming up right now because we are talking about the AFC East. Two of the teams today, the Patriots
and
the Bills. So we're gonna see a full screen of their win totals and also how they fared last season. The Patriots went 12-4. The Bills went 10-6. Their 2020 win totals via Caesars. Actually, both at 9, so a very competitive AFC East on the horizon. We're going to begin with New England.
That's interesting, don't you think? That basically, that don't you think that is interesting that the Patriots' win total goes down, which makes sense. Obviously, no Tom Brady and a lot of players that have opted out for the 2020 season defensively. But that the Bills' win total also goes down from last year.
It doesn't for one reason.
Okay.
The Patriots and the Bills both played a fairly favorable schedule last season, a weaker slate of opponents. This year, they play the NFC West, the AFC East does, which is perhaps the best division in football in terms of top-to-bottom depth. So you'll see it one more time now for those that are watching here. Live on any of our variety of mediums that we are shown, Patriots, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Bills at 9, Jets at 6.5. That would be a half win decrease. And of course, the Dolphins at 6, that's one win increase for a team that put a lot of money into their roster this offseason. But we have to start with the Patriots and specifically Cam Newton. And I'm going to pass the baton to you in a second, Matthew, because I remember June 28th vividly. Where there had not been much in the way of sports news other than COVID-related matters. And on that night, Sunday night, Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen broke the news that Cam Newton, that's right, the Cam Newton, would be signing a one-year incentive-laden deal with the New England Patriots, presumably to become their new starting quarterback. It was a shot in the arm for football fans. It was exciting. It made me feel like there was hope that a football season was going to be played, and there was a lot to look forward to.
You and I did an emergency pod that night.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was on a beach somewhere, and I literally I found a place to where I could get cell service, and I called in, and you and I did an emergency pod about Cam Newton going to the Panthers, and it was surprising.
Patriots.
The Patriots. He used to play in the Panthers. Sorry, going to the Patriots, and you know, it's interesting here, Field, because he had been rumored to go to the Patriots for a long, long time. You know, it sort of seemed to make sense. You know, marquee star quarterback, team that needs a marquee star quarterback, obviously. And yet it didn't happen. Then all of a sudden it does. There was some question. Some people at one point questioned whether Cam Newton would ever play football again. It was last year in Carolina. It was bleak. And I bring all that up because our own Stefania Bell plays in a dynasty league with myself, yourself, Thirsty Kyle, Daniel Dopp, Secret Squirrel, all of us here at ESPN Fantasy. We play in a 12-team kind of hardcore dynasty league. Stefania Bell, I want to bring you in here. I want to go to the Chateau de Cone. And when Cam Newton had left Carolina and was making YouTube videos where he was sifting wine and smoking cigars and whatever, you dropped him from your dynasty team. Like, you didn't believe you were gonna be talking about on air about him. What happened?
Well, it's not true that I didn't believe we'd be talking about him. I figured we'd be talking about him in some capacity. But at the time, I had a business decision to make, and also point out the fact it's a dynasty league, so you're looking for a long-term investment. And I don't know that that's where I was ready to put my money with Cam. I mean, as you said, he remained unsigned at that point. Now, I would draft him this year.
You would.
Because I think he's healthy and he's got something to prove, and those two things put together make him valuable. Yeah, I would. Look, everyone was talking about the injury concerns, and because of the COVID-19 situation, he couldn't get a physical. He was evaluated in Atlanta, but you know, he couldn't go in, and teams needed to see a player like this because he had the shoulder surgery going into last season. Last year, I was at training camp. Seems like forever ago I was able to go to training camp, but I was at training camp and they were very comfortable with how his shoulder looked. He was making downfield throws, 50 to 60 throws in practice. They thought he was fine, but then he injured his foot. And that foot, as you know, never really got right. He never had confidence in being able to put his weight on that foot and push off of that foot. So then he couldn't throw properly. People were questioning his shoulder, but it really wasn't his shoulder. It was his foot. He ended up having surgery. And then as you saw, because you've seen those Instagram posts, the kind of work he was doing in those posts, the running the stadiums, the agility ladders, that's proof that his foot has recovered as well. So the question, of course, will be, can he stay healthy this year? But going into New England, I think he's a healthy guy. He's mad that nobody deserved. And last year, I thought he could have a bounce back season. The foot injury came up. If he doesn't get injured again, and there's no preseason games, I think Cam Newton has a bounce back season this year.
Well, a clean bell of health for Cameron Newton. By the way, Stefania got Clyde Edwards-Helaire in our Dynasty League. Things are looking up for her there as well. Thank you, Stefania. We'll be back to the Chateau de Cone very soon. Field Yates.
Let's have the conversation.
So first off, just the obvious out of the way, we all assume Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, despite the quarterback competition talk from the coaching staff.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised otherwise. Let's start there. So we are operating under the strong presumption that Cam Newton will start for the Patriots.
So then I'll ask you the question that was on that is on the screen right now for those watching at home or on their device. Are you comfortable going into a season this year with Cam Newton as your QB1? Full clean bell of health there from Stefania, but hasn't played in a while, and it's a brand new system, brand new coach.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Matthew, you know, I think about fantasy football, and part of it is obviously you want to win, but have there been players during your long career playing fantasy football that you just enjoyed being on the ride with, right? I think Aaron Jones is a guy that last year, even if you didn't win your league, you were deeply appreciative for what Aaron Jones is doing because he so far exceeded the expectations. He never regressed. He kept firing away and just scoring.
Free Aaron Jones.
Cam Newton's a player that you might have as much enjoyment having on your roster if he plays to the expectations that I think are reasonable for him this season. And I understand that it feels like a long time since Cam Newton was a dominant player. But there were two separate sample sizes that I wanted to look into about Cam that I think are so important because he is obviously, I mean, the talent is just dynamic. He can be an excellent thrower. We also know he can be an inconsistent thrower. But we know more so than basically any quarterback, maybe not named Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and perhaps maybe Russell Wilson, he's as gifted a runner as we have in the NFL at the quarterback spot. So since Cam entered the league, 2011 to 2018, and we're going to throw 2019 out of the window because he didn't play last year other than two very, very sloppy games. During those 8 years before that, second in the NFL in total rushing touchdowns. He had 58 rushing touchdowns, trailing only Marshawn Lynch. Now, moreover, and you had this comment recently, he's the best goal line runner in the NFL. Yeah, he had a league-high 26 rushing touchdowns from inside the three-yard line. Now, for those that say, dude, yeah, if you look at an eight-year sample size that goes back to 2011, like, of course, he's going to, how many other players played for eight consecutive years that were good runners? So I said, all right, good idea. Let's cut this down to the last three healthy seasons that Cam Newton had.
Okay.
2016 to 2018. He still had 15 rushing touchdowns. That was tied for 17th in the NFL. Not amongst quarterbacks, just amongst all players.
Right.
Still very reasonable floor, right? He also was tied for 20th in terms of yards that went 10 or more. That was second amongst quarterbacks. He had 49 of them. So again, tied for 20th. You factor in all the running backs, wide receivers running reverses, you name it. Cam Newton still managed 49-plus rushes of 10-plus yards.
He's as good a running quarterback as the NFL, other than maybe Lamar Jack. I mean, right? You know, I mean, Lamar Jackson's
in the conversation,
right?
He's in the
conversation, right? Yep. And I would argue, this is like, as to your point, what I said on Twitter, I believe he's the greatest goal line running quarterback in NFL history, right? You know, all due respect to Tim Tebow, who is also pretty good.
He
was pretty good at that. But I believe it's Cam Newton. And this is the other stat. Since 2016, the Patriots rank sixth in red zone rush percentage. They like to run when they get in close. Think about how many rushing. Tom Brady, who is not nearly as nimble as Cam Newton, to be kind, right? Tom Brady would always have three or four rushing touchdowns a year. He'd always sneak one in. You know, he loved that QB sneak play. And so I believe this field, and as somebody who's worked for the organization, I believe you would agree with this as well. For people that like, oh, he's not Tom Brady. Of course he's not Tom Brady. But Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are not going to say, hey, Cam, here's Tom's playbook. Go run it the best you can. They are obviously going to design their play and put in packages that highlight what Cam does well and hide what he does not.
So we talked about this when you and I did the emergency Cam pod, but just to bring it back one more time. A reminder that when Tom Brady got suspended, Jimmy Garoppolo took over. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt after six quarters. Jacoby Brissett took over for the Patriots as the starter in week 3 of 2016. The Patriots played on Thursday night, so that means they had two walkthroughs to get Jacoby Brissett ready to play.
Yeah.
In that game, Thursday night against the Houston Texans, a good team.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett recorded the longest rushing touchdown by a Patriots quarterback in, I believe, 40 years. He had more rushing yards in that game than I think Tom Brady ever had in his career. He ran a naked bootleg. They haven't run that in 25 years in New England. The Patriots are going to adapt. And last thing I'll say on this matter before we move on to the running backs. We haven't really talked about narratives yet this season.
Sure.
Is there a better narrative right now going than the revenge tour of Cam Newton? It's got to be one of the prevailing narratives going into this season.
With the revenge tour of Cam Newton, and by the way, also Bill Belichick. We talked about, you know, and we have and we will continue to talk about Tom Brady wanting to prove, I don't need Bill, you know, and that's why he's going to Tampa Bay. Bill also is like, I don't need Tom. You know, I mean, like, they're both, listen, they have tremendous respect for each other, but they're both competitive guys, and they're both going to want to win. And you're telling me that Bill Belichick doesn't want to, but aside from just competitive reasons, that Bill Belichick doesn't want Cam Newton to have a monster year. He wants Cam Newton to have a monster year.
Not about it.
So, absolutely. Look, the only concern is health. Stefania gave him a clean bill of health, obviously, but can he stay healthy throughout the entire year? That's the only question with Cam Newton. I'm at 13, you have him at 12, but yes, you're talking about a guy that's being drafted outside the top 10 that has top 5 potential. It's obviously Cam Newton.
No doubt. All right, let's go to Stefania again. I'm going to pass the baton back to you, Matthew, because there are a lot of injury questions in this Patriots backfield.
There 100% are, and, you know, one of them, the Patriots just recently signed Lamar Miller to a one-year deal, and we have questions about him, Stefania, but a lot of people supposing that one of the reasons that they signed Lamar Miller is they want depth because of the concerns around Sony Michel. So, Stefania, let's talk about these Patriots running backs.
Well, let's start with the concerns about Sony Michel. Obviously talented, but has had knee issues since college. And if you remember back his rookie season, there was a question about whether he'd be available at the start of the year because he had a procedure on that knee before he ever took the field. And it's continued to crop up on him intermittently over the last couple of years. I think that is the overarching concern. This knee issue for him has the potential to be problematic throughout his career, and you just never know when it's going to act up. Now, last year he played all 16 games, but there were some ebbs and flows in terms of how he looked when he was on the field, not breaking the tackles like he used to when he was in college. He also had a foot procedure in the offseason. It was minor, a debridement, and so, you know, sometimes you hear minor surgery and you wonder if it really is. It really was, but nonetheless, we don't know if he's going to be practicing when the Patriots actually start practicing today. So something to keep an eye on. I understand why they wanted depth. Lamar Miller's an interesting pickup. He's coming off an ACL, MCL injury last year. I'm told that he looks great and he's in really good shape. But you have to remember that for running backs coming off ACL reconstruction, they usually don't return to their prior level of performance until their second year. When you're looking at metrics like rushing yards, even scores, they tend to be better second year post-surgery than first. And with no preseason games, again, I think this is a help in the overarching view of things, but for a guy like Lamar Miller coming off that type of injury, it means he doesn't get to test his knee in competition until games are actually underway. So I wouldn't expect him to come out of the gates at 100%. He might have to knock the rust off a little bit.
Stefania, don't go far. We're going to come back to you very soon with even more injury updates. But great stuff there from Stefania. No clean bills of health issued by Stefania for the Patriots backfield. And Matthew, we talked about this with a separate backfield recently and whether it might just be best to avoid entirely. Sony Michel, right now, his ADP, let me pull this up here, grab
running
the
back
iPad.
44.
44. So he's not costing you much.
He's not
Lamar
cost,
Miller,
but
obviously nothing.
But he's like, but he is, though, in this sense. Because he's like, he's going
roster
ahead
spot.
Of, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was
he's
just
going
saying,
ahead of like Latavius Murray.
Right.
Like, so if you have drafted Alvin Kamara, I would much rather Latavius Murray than Sony Michel. And I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have Latavius Murray if I don't have Sony Michel, because you know what? There's a chance, as we saw last year, if anything were to happen to Alvin Kamara, Latavius Murray would be a top 10 running back. He was a monster last year when Kamara was out.
Yep.
I would rather the upside of that then Sony Michel, who could get healthy. We've seen him be dominant, but it's been in short spurts. And to your point, like, this is a crowded, it's, here's what I will say about the, and we'll talk about James White in a second, but other than the pass catching running back, it is a crowded backfield. We know that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels like to use multiple guys. And by the way, it's a backfield that now has the greatest goal line running quarterback in NFL history in it.
Yeah. And just specific to Sony Michel, and maybe this is the injuries. He doesn't have an explosive gear anymore, Matthew.
No.
Sony Michel, he and Le'Veon Bell, like, they can carry a heavy load. Sony Michel had 58 carries over the last three games of last season. But you're not excited about those guys breaking 35-yard runs with any level of consistency. So I personally am avoiding the Patriots backfield this season, except for one player. And you just teased it a minute ago.
Yeah.
It's James White. Now, we subscribe to the theory that, you know, you don't get points for finishing third in fantasy football. Right. You want to win your league.
Right.
Along those lines, does James White move the needle enough for you, Matthew, that you would consider investing in him? Because I have him ranked 27th, which is 8 spots higher than you have him. And my thinking was that I believe at the end of the season, he will be one of the 27 highest scoring fantasy football running backs this year. Do I believe that he will be one of the 27 most valuable fantasy football running backs this year? Maybe not. But he plays every single game. He's literally never fumbled in his NFL career. He catches a ton of passes. Is that enough to make him a fantasy football asset?
Oh, sure. So it's a slightly different question for me, right? I don't disagree with it. Like, I currently have it running back 35, and I'd be a little bit too low on him. But again, I'm doing my ranks based on how I would draft. And yep. So I agree with your assessment that when we look back at the end of the year, James White will probably be one of the 27th best running backs in fantasy football, right? In terms of total points. I'm with you there. And so, and for people that do those, you know, those stupid accuracy contests, they'll be like, oh, well, James White was running back 26 and you got him at 35, you know, you get knocked points. Don't care. Because here's the thing. Much rather have like J.K. Dobbins, who's going after James White, right? Because there's a chance, again, like you're playing for third.
Top
there's a chance. There's a chance that J.K. Dobbins wins you your league.
Yep.
He has that kind of potential. If he were to get a significant role with Baltimore, he has that kind of talent that we saw last year in college, that kind of offense around him. If J.K. Dobbins gets a shot, whether because of injury to Mark Ingram or poor play or whatever reason, he could be a league winner. He could also do nothing, by the way, and he could also be only good for like 3 weeks if there's a small injury for Mark Ingram, like what we saw with Latavius Murray last year. But I would much rather a guy like that that can win me a week, even for a couple of weeks, than for somebody like James White, who's going to be a nice flex play week in, week out.
Yeah.
I don't care for a nice flex play. Like, because if I don't get James White, there's Tariq Cohen. Like, there's going to be a lot of guys like that. And given how deep wide receiver is, I'm probably going wide receiver with my flex play anyway. So, yes, I'm with you. James White will be a usable fantasy asset this year. He's the Patriots running back I want the most this year. But I'm probably not going to have a lot of shares of him this year in my drafts because of how I'm drafting.
Incredibly reliable player, does all the things right, but just in fantasy football, again, this is about ceiling versus, I think, reliability and floor. We're going to come back and talk about the wide receivers in just a moment, Matthew, but first, a word from you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com today or just stop by.
All right, let's talk about these wide receivers here, Matthew, in New England. And maybe I'm taking the bait here a little bit too much. Julian Edelman finished as wide receiver 9 last year, 16.02 points per game. He's being
on a points per game basis.
On a points per game.
Yep.
He's being drafted as wide receiver 34 right now. Yeah. Julian Edelman is being disrespected in fantasy football. I mean, I'm highest on him at 23, but a player that finishes a top 10 wide receiver last season, Matthew, a guy who is a stud, and I get it. Edelman is not the conventional mold of some of the best wide receivers in football. He's 5 inches shorter than Julio Jones, not as fast as any of these guys, Tyreek Hill, right? Maybe not as great of a route runner as Davante Adams. Edelman's just a baller, though, right? Like,
yes.
And I get it, the quarterback is a change, and that's the derivation of all this. But is it fair? Is the change from Tom Brady to the Cam Newton enough that Julian Edelman should really be drafted as a wide receiver 3 or a wide receiver 4?
He's going as wide receiver 34. Again, he was a top 10 wide receiver last year on a points per game basis. But my assumption of in terms of drafters, and I, you know, listen, you have him higher than I do, but I'm at wide receiver 24. You have him at 23. So we both like him a lot, at least a round ahead of where he's going in the consensus. The thing is that we have to say points per game because the guy misses time.
Well, he didn't miss any last year.
Yeah, I know, but he's injury prone. He is injury prone and has been throughout his career. And while he didn't miss any games last year, he certainly was banged up. Like, I will tell you, I had him, I had a lot of Julian Edelman last year. I was very high on him going into the season. Same thing. I was just like, this guy's being really disrespected. And
you were right.
I was right. Made me look really smart. But, you know, that playoff game against the Bills, he was like limping in. Like, you know, there was like a playoff game or two where I had him on my roster and I didn't start him against the Bills because I was nervous. He ended up having a decent game that game.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like the hamstring injuries, you know, cold weather going against the Bills. It was tough. He's 34 years old. Last year, his third 16-game regular season. He's never strung two together in the full year. And you know, there's not a lot of touchdown equity here with Julian Edelman. Having said all that, I am with you. You and I both agree that he is an absolute bargain this year. That the passing offense for the Patriots is going to go through Julian Edelman this year. It is. You know, and while Cam Newton is not as effective to the slot as Tom Brady, and certainly they're not going to have the connection that Brady and Edelman did where they were like finishing each other's sentences, you know, and Brady knew where Edelman was on the field even if he wasn't looking at him at all times. The fact is that he's going to get a heavy target share, and he's basically free in drafts.
Yeah, I mean, he's fallen from wide receiver 12 in terms of ADP last season to wide receiver 34 right now. Move Julian Edelman up your draft boards. I'm throwing away the data about Cam Newton and slot receivers in Carolina. He hadn't played like somebody like Julian Edelman, at least consistently in his career. Let's talk
last
about
year,
the rest of them.
12 different top 30 finishes at the position. The only wide receiver to do that other than Julian Edelman, Michael Thomas. You may have heard of him.
All right, any Michael Thomas stat? I like it.
Right.
That's
any,
good.
Any stat in which you can say this guy and Michael Thomas were the only ones to do it, chances are that's a good stat. We are both pro Julian Edelman here on the Fantasy Focus 06010. By the way, I just want to say this just because we're bringing up Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
Just very quickly, I will say I was very appreciative as somebody who is a Jewish man. I was very appreciative of Julian Edelman's public response to DeSean Jackson and his handling of that situation. So just want to say that shout out and kudos to Julian on that. Looking forward to seeing him and DeSean taking that trip together.
Agreed on that. Very well said. Let's talk about the other Patriots pass catchers here, Matthew. In previous years, we kind of always believed there was a chance that a number two pass catcher in New England would carry value in fantasy football. And I'm not talking about James White, who's an excellent pass catcher, as we just discussed. Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry are the other top three wide receivers for the Patriots. They drafted both Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene this year, third-round picks out of UCLA and Virginia Tech.
They've also been rumored. They've been rumored to be a potential destination for Delanie Walker. Do you think they sign a veteran?
I think they're going to sign a veteran tight end. I don't know that Delanie Walker will be the answer. Might be looking for someone who's a little bit healthier.
Right.
But something to keep an eye on as a veteran tight end. But is there value? And I would say at cost, but the cost is nothing right now for any of these Patriots wide receivers, not named Julian Edelman, and tight end for that matter. So I think the question is there anybody, and we're going to get me a bucket at some point, a bucket of late-round flyers, because I keep throwing guys into this bucket of late-round flyers. Is there anybody that interests you at all there?
N'Keal Harry. Two first names, always a crowd pleaser. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Also 6'3", 228 pounds, ran a 4.5. 40, had a 38.5 vertical. Herm Edwards, our former colleague Herm Edwards, said, reminds me of Dez Bryant.
Yep.
And you just think about, you know, Cam Newton and some of the big targets he's had over the course of his career. You think about Kelvin Benjamin, 6'5", Kelvin Benjamin, who was wide receiver 17 in 2014. You think about 6'5", Greg Olsen, who was tight end 3 in total points from 2011 to 2016. You think about 6'4", Devin Funchess, who was a top 22 wide receiver in 2017.
What?
Like, Devin Funchess. I know it's, but there's
Sounds
a reason
crazy.
Why.
If he can make Funchess good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why Chris Ballard paid Devin Funchess a lot of money to not play for the Colts 2 years ago. Look, Cam Newton likes throwing jump balls. He likes throwing to big guys in the end zone. And N'Keal Harry, I think people forget about this because he had such a lost season last year and there was so much going on with the Patriots, but he was a first-round pick 2 years ago.
Basically every catch he made last year was notable. Like, it was athletic, it was acrobatic, things of that nature. So he's an interesting name. I'm just going to throw this one in here, and again, not saying draft him. I just want to just tuck it away, and we'll revisit it if we need to in November.
Okay.
Dalton Keene.
Really?
Tight end, Virginia Tech. Just tuck it away.
All right.
Pretty versatile guy. Tuck it away.
And if it's tucked.
And if he does nothing, then we won't revisit it because it'll be a throwaway.
It'll be tucked away. Now, we don't have to bring it back out.
If he crushes it, I'll go, woohoo, August 12th, right?
Are you sure you don't? Usually Matthew gets at least 30 seconds to talk about tight ends that don't have any fantasy value. If you want that, I'll give it to you as well, Field.
I only need 7.
You're okay.
Saying,
all right, that's
tuck
fair.
It away.
That's
tuck okay. it away on Dalton.
Tuck it away.
Keep an eye on that point.
All right. Interesting name. Good to know.
Yep. So Patriots, really interesting team this year because of Cam Newton. We'll talk about the Bills in just one second. What else you
we
got?
We both agree that Mohamed Sanu is a much better NFL player than consistent fantasy asset this year, that even in an expanded role with the Patriots this year and a full year in the system, we don't expect him to have any real fantasy relevance given how deep the position is and sort of given his makeup.
I think that just generally speaking too, you're not going to draft him, so you might have to beat others on the waiver wire to him, but like, again, there's a lot of players that fit into that mold. Could be relevant, but don't need to go out of your way to draft them.
To me, the guys that of the non-Edelman Patriots pass catchers, the guy that could be special is N'Keal Harry.
You would think out of a guy that was a 32nd overall pick, the Patriots certainly hope for the same thing.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Can I be Matthew Berry for a second?
Please.
Sure.
Okay, so.
You're going to have to shave a lot.
I understand.
You want to get there, I'm just saying.
I'll just take all of this, and I'll just put it all over everywhere else.
You're not that hairy. You're actually not that hairy.
I'm actually not. I mean, yeah. I am lucky in that, because sometimes you see, you know, people, guys that are bald, but then they take their shirt off at the beach, and you're like, oh, man, like the grizzly bear going on. Like, I am at least, even though I'm losing hair up here, it's not gaining anywhere else. I'm a fairly hairless person.
Yeah.
FYI, just a heads up for everyone that was
not FYI, TMI is what I would say.
Okay.
Daniel, please take this somewhere else.
I'm curious, Field, from your perspective as an NFL insider. Last year, the Patriots drafted Damien Harris in the third round.
Mm, good name.
And that just seems like a really early pick for an Alabama running back that didn't really get any run. It doesn't seem like a franchise to like waste draft picks.
Mm, good name. So, and to further that point, the Patriots have this interesting recent track record of third or second round running backs who redshirted their rookie year and then became stars. Shane Vereen and James White are the two most notable ones. So, Daniel, I'm tucking that name away too.
All right, yeah. I can tuck a name.
No, you know what? I mean, Damien Harris, I've seen Damien Harris go late in a lot of drafts as kind of a flyer because people are concerned about Sony Michel. I think the signing of Lamar Miller, again, just
took
makes
the
it
air out of the wind out of the sails a little bit, right?
Takes the wind out of the sails, but...
If Lamar Miller makes a team.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Lamar Miller may not make the team, and if that were to happen... you'd feel like better about Sony Michel. But I do think Damien Harris is, again, I'm with you, an interesting name to tuck away. There are other later round running backs that I like a little bit more. Again,
sure.
Given the crowdedness of that backfield and because you figure Cam vultures, you know, 5 or 6 touchdowns, give me touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I'm glad you brought him up.
Thanks, Matthew.
There you go.
In some ways,
even though the Patriots don't want to waste draft picks, you know, there's Aaron Dobson's the world. They have.
Oh, that's
they
true.
They have.
Yeah,
they
that have. Has happened.
That's a call right there. Aaron Dobson. Wow. I think the closest player that I've seen to Cam Newton in some ways in recent years is Josh Allen.
Right.
Big freight train runner, incredible arm, sometimes inconsistent as a thrower. We have Josh Allen.
But an absolute baller.
Yeah,
just like
totally.
Just like a guy
hurtling
like,
defenders, I mean, like, right. I mean, making. Like,
but that's
know,
what Cam is, right?
Throws.
Cam like
yeah.
just Cam makes stuff happen, even though maybe the accuracy isn't always there. Like
you take
Cam at his best. Cam
the...
is a baller, and that is the same as Josh Allen.
You
like you feel like you've got a chance for that guy.
Yes, I agree on that. All three of us, because we're brilliant minds, have Josh Allen as the 7th best quarterback in terms of rankings right now.
Let's go.
His ADP is quarterback 10.
Mm-hmm.
Are we feeling really confident about Josh Allen as a top 7 quarterback this year? And can he keep the rushing up? Because that has been such a huge part of his fantasy success over the past couple of seasons.
That's a concern. So we'll throw to, for those of you watching at home, I'm going to throw to a full screen here. Haley, how about that heads up? 1 of 7 players with at least 8 rushing touchdowns in each of the last 2 years. Josh Allen is 1 of 7 players with at least 8 rushing touchdowns in each of the past 2 seasons, okay? The other 6, Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Derrick Henry, Marlon Mack,
there it is.
Nick Chubb, and Aaron Jones. Not a quarterback among them, right? It's a guy that was the 6th best quarterback in fantasy in terms of total points, despite entering the season with John Brown as his wide receiver 1. Now, the concern is, so he's been nothing short of fantastic, and the rushing has been really brilliant. The concern with Josh Allen here, and actually I'll give you one more positive, right?
Okay, yeah, give it to
Frank,
me.
Frank Gore Frank Gore no longer there. Frank Gore, I believe, had, I'm going to try to find this. Frank Gore had, where am I looking here? Thirsty Kyle, I can't find my note here. Frank Gore had how many goal-to-go carries? I want to say he had 10 off the top of my head. I think he had 10 of like their...
Looking it up.
You keep talking. I'll see if I can find it as well as Kyle.
Here you go. Frank Gore had a team-high 51.6% of goal-to-go carries. So all of a sudden, all those goal-to-go carries are now available, potentially, for Josh Allen. The concern is that they drafted Zach Moss, who's a really nice kind of goal line, tough to tackle guy. And so the concern here is, does the rushing, specifically the rushing touchdowns, continue for Josh Allen? Because if you look over the career of fantasy quarterbacks, it is rare, it may not even ever happen, that a quarterback rushing for as many touchdowns as he did last year repeats the following year. Right? I mean, like, you know, so we expect some regression in the rushing touchdowns. The question is, does the addition of Stephon Diggs and another year in the system and another year in the NFL make up for whatever decline there is in the rushing touchdowns, right? Does Josh Allen have more passing success with, you know, a legit wide receiver one now in Stephon Diggs?
I think this goes back to the avenues to success and something we talk about a lot last season. We haven't really invoked it much this year. There's a lot of ways for Josh Allen to get fantasy points, right? To your point, if Stephon Diggs and him have this elite connection, and Kyle can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this one, that there was no better quarterback wide receiver duo in terms of receptions or receiving yards on balls that traveled 20-plus yards in the air last season than Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs. He's an excellent vertical threat. Plus, he's a runner. And if stuff hits the fan, he can break away and scramble for a lot of yards. So I'm not super concerned about Josh Allen, to your point. I just think that maybe the ceiling can't be scratched like it can with some of the other quarterbacks that we're talking about drafting close to here. So I feel it may not be pretty to always watch. It's not Blake Bortles, though, a couple of years ago, where he'd be top five fantasy quarterback despite a bad team that year. It's just going to be a little bit of a roller coaster every single week for you.
Yeah, look, you and I both have him at QB7 as a secret squirrel, so we're all in on Josh. Not all in, but we are pro Josh Allen.
We are a pro Josh Allen podcast.
Lest anyone confuse us, we are a pro Josh Allen podcast, and so I'm with you. Listen, he's got a cannon for an arm, and yes, it is not always consistent or accurate, but he's got a cannon for an arm, and he is not scared to chuck it. And so, having somebody like Stephon Diggs, along with somebody like Smokey Brown, that can absolutely fly and take the top of the defense. And then you've got a guy like Dawson Knox who showed signs last year emerging. So you've got a nice pass-catching tight end. Cole Beasley was very underrated as well. Devin Singletary is a nice pass-catching running back. All of a sudden, you start looking around, you're like, to your point about multiple ways for him to earn fantasy points, Buffalo very quietly has a really nice pass-catching core for Josh Allen, and we know the rushing isn't going to go completely away, even if it declines somewhat.
High floor player. Let's get to the running backs, because we just talked about floor. Let's talk about ceilings now. Devin Singletary, in terms of running back ranks, you have him at 26. I have him at 23. Daniel has him at 22. His ADP is 22nd amongst running backs as well. Last year, he finished RB27 on a points-per-game basis, but there is a concern now. Frank Gore is gone. Frank Gore will continue to play, and he plays with the Jets now. But Zach Moss is in, and that might be actually a worse thing for Devin Singletary's value going forward, because Zach Moss is a third-round running back out of Utah. Very talented player, by the way. A guy maybe slipped a little bit because, A, he's a running back, and, B, he had some knee issues that had to get cleared up during the pre-draft process. But what's Devin Singletary's ceiling in your estimation? Like, is this a player that being drafted as an RB3 kind of has an RB3 ceiling, or do we see top 15 running back potential? I mean,
look, that's his ceiling. Devin Singletary is a really talented player. Mm-hmm. And you saw towards the second half of last year, they started giving him more and more work, and he handled it.
Yep.
Like, he's a legit three-down running back on an offense that we think is pretty good. So his ceiling is pretty high. I think top 15 is his ceiling. The concern is that, again, as we sort of talk about multiple ways to get fantasy points, there's multiple ways for him to lose fantasy points, right? Because last year he just didn't get a lot of touchdowns. And now you think about Zach Moss, who we'll talk about a little bit more. But Zach Moss, is a guy that, like, was, you know, top 10 in FBS last year in terms of missed tackles, force per touch, in terms of, you know, yards per carry after first contact. You know, he was a guy that, you know, scored on a lot of his goal-to-go carries. Like, he's a tough-to-bring-down guy. He's somebody that you would think would make a lot of sense at the goal line. And then you also have Josh Allen that we just talked about. Like, he might be third on the list for who's getting the ball when they get in close. So how many scores can he get from 12 yards out? You know, that's the question on Devin Singletary. So I think his floor is lower than most running backs that will have the amount of work that he will. So that's the concern for me on Devin Singletary. But I think he's a very talented player.
Very explosive player as well. Daniel, what do you have on
that? So I got a question on that.
Just raise your hand.
I did. Yeah, I just want to be polite.
You'll alert us.
You know what I mean?
Right. So
I just try not to interrupt people while they're talking. It's a weird thing I do.
You know what's weird? Because I do it all the time and it's worked great for me.
Got a very long storied career.
Yeah. I've been here a long time.
Long.
I do it all the time. Long time.
Long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
Haley, you should find some of the black and white clips for me back in the early days of ESPN.
Beta tapes.
Find the beta tapes. Of me. You know, I was here when ESPN went first
digital.
With talkies. When ESPN had its first talkies.
High school games in Bristol.
We'd hold up a sign, you know, whatever. Otto Graham threw a 6-yard touchdown pass.
That's so good.
We were just ESPN at that point. We were sports and programming. We weren't even entertainment. Back in the good old days of ESPN.
Yep.
All right, so this might be a dumb question. Maybe it's coming from a stupid spot, but I just want to throw this out there to you guys, right? We're thinking there's going to be some regression from Josh Allen on the rushing front, correct? Obviously, Frank Gore no longer there, so Zach Moss is going to take in and take some of that Frank Gore role. But do you think that everything that is there, like it's a rookie coming in to learn an offense in a shortened offseason, is there not at least the option that maybe Devin Singletary will actually have more options this year given the way that the role is going to work out? If we expect regression from Josh Allen, Frank Gore and Zach Moss are two different running backs. Zach Moss isn't Frank Gore. So is there at least an option there where maybe he gets more chances because of that? Or is that a flawed way of thinking about it?
I don't think it's flawed. I also think it's possible. So I think one of the concerns with Devin Singletary is that although he plays much bigger than his stature, he's 5'7" or 5'8".
Those smaller guys.
Pounds, right? So I just think coaches, and whether they should or should not be this way, coaches do tend to... you know, when you have a guy of that stature, your instincts are to not grind him into the ground with 20 plus carries per game. And it's a fair point, though.
This is a guy that averaged 1.5 yards after contact last year. That was 25th out of 29 qualified running backs.
It's not great.
By the way, though, listen, since week 9 of last year, 18.9 touches per game. Like, they really rode him down the stretch. And so, again, NFL coaches don't think like we think.
Yeah.
And so they may sit there and say, you know what? We need Devin Singletary to get us from 20 to the 20, you know, between the 20s. And then when we get in close, we've got Josh Allen, we've got Zach Moss.
Sure.
You know, and so, right. They're not concerned about who gets the touchdowns. They're just trying to win a ball game. And if they think the best way for the Bills to win ball games is we want Devin Singletary between the 20s. And then when we get in close, we're going to have a mixture of different guys and different looks. That's good for the Bills potentially, but bad for us in the fantasy world. But could that happen? 100%. We agree that Devin Singletary is a nice player.
Yes.
But
really nice player.
But you look at where he's going in terms of ADP. So he's going between James Conner and Jonathan Taylor. So you're saying like James Conner, who, like, we've talked about James Conner already on the show, but James Conner has a top 5 season under his belt in the NFL. And Jonathan Taylor is as heralded a rookie. I mean, we would all be talking about Jonathan Taylor if it wasn't for Clyde Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City. But a guy like Jonathan Taylor going to the line in Indianapolis, Jonathan Taylor is going to be a future fantasy superstar. I don't know if it's this year or not, but it's not going to take long. At some point, Jonathan Taylor is going to be a fantasy rock star. And so that's the upside that you're giving up on by taking Devin Singletary where he's going on ADP right now.
Absolutely.
All right, so one of the monumental trades of this offseason was Stephon Diggs being shipped to Buffalo, basically a package built around a first-round pick going back to Minnesota. Stephon Diggs, wildly talented player. He's been a fantasy rockstar for multiple years now. Last season, though, he was wide receiver 25 on a points-per-game basis, 14.14 points per outing. His ADP right now is wide receiver 26. He is ranked wide receiver 27 for Matthew, wide receiver 25 for me, wide receiver 24 for Daniel. We kind of all have him pegged in the same range. Everybody seems to value Stephon Diggs in the same way. Matthew, did going to Buffalo buoy the fantasy outlook for Stephon Diggs, or did it actually make it a little bit more bleak? As we talked about with Josh Allen, incredibly strong arm, but strength only matters if you can put it where it needs to go. And that, I mean, you look, the accuracy numbers, which are pretty black and white, suggest that Josh Allen is one of the more inconsistent throwers right now in the NFL.
It does, but again, he also likes to chuck it. Think about Josh Allen. Last two seasons combined, number one in the NFL in terms of percentage attempts that go 15 or more yards downfield. He's second in air yards per attempt. Speaking of just last year specifically, right? He was top seven in the NFL in terms of percentage of attempts that went 15 or more yards downfield and in air yards per attempt. Josh Allen likes to chuck it, and now he's got somebody that can go and get it. All due respect to John Brown, who can also get, right? But like, so I actually think that while there will be, he's not nearly as accurate as Kirk Cousins, he's going to throw downfield more often than Kirk Cousins ever did. And so I think there may be, I think the inefficiency may be masked somewhat by volume here in terms of Stephon Diggs. The concern is that it's still a run first offense and it's a new system. I mean, I don't know if you saw the quotes from Stephon Diggs on social media, but like he was interviewed and he just said, like, I'm just trying to learn it. He's like, I feel like a rookie again. It's all brand new to me. Like, it's a totally new system. And he's just, I'm trying to get on the same page with Josh Allen. And so he'll get there. Very talented player. And you don't trade for Josh Stephon Diggs to make him a decoy, which is what happened in Minnesota. And this is where some of the issues with that situation started. But I do think that's why I have him valued the way I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not concerned the way some other people are, like, oh, going from Minnesota to Buffalo hurts his value. I think that's about where he was last year, right? Which is he's a wide receiver, borderline wide receiver two or three with some upside. Given the depth of the position, I'm slightly lower because it's a new team, new quarterback, new offense.
Love the player.
Yeah.
So talented. The only reason why I'm agreeing with you and like when you say some upside, it's the right phrasing as opposed to tons of upside is, and I would love the Bills to prove me wrong here, I just don't know that I see a 100 catch for 1,460-yard outing or season from Stephon Diggs. There's going to be some, you're going to have to ride the wave a little. He had a 100 catch season a couple of years ago when he was basically an extension of the running game. And he had like, he averaged like 9.8 yards per reception or something ridiculous. So I just think in the role that I expect him to play, it's going to be a little bit more up and down. When you're drafting there, you have to take a sample of what kind of wide receivers you could get. A la a Jarvis Landry, probably more steady force, but not quite as much upside.
Right.
As,
or, but by the way, he's also going right around like DJ Shark.
Right.
Like, what were the numbers you quoted? Like, what, 100 receptions? And
it was like 100 catches for like
102 was, for 1,021 yards, 10 yards even.
Yeah, so I said 9.9. Yeah, whatever. 10 yards per catch.
Right.
100 catches. He was Julian Edelman for that year.
Right, exactly. Like, 100 catches over 1,000 yards, 8-9 touchdowns. Like, DJ Chark could have that season in Jacksonville, a team that's going to be throwing a ton, a Jay Gruden offense, and he's going to be the number one wide receiver on a bad team. Like, right, I'm with you. I don't think a Bills wide receiver, whoever it is, and we all agree Stephon Diggs is the most talented among them, is going to have that kind of season in that offense.
So let's talk about the other pass catchers, though, Matthew, as we put a bow on the Bills conversation.
Yes, sir.
We all accept that we believe that Stephon Diggs is our number one Bills pass catcher going into the season. But can the offense sustain multiple pass catchers for fantasy football? The names of note, of course, would be John Brown, who, despite being wide receiver 23 last season, is being drafted on average as wide receiver 49. Each of us have him ranked as a wide receiver 5 this year, between 41 and 46 in total. Other names include Cole Beasley and then perhaps Dawson Knox, who you mentioned as a player with some promise. Any of those guys at cost interest you right now, or are they part of just the big old bucket of flyers?
Big old bucket of flyers. Like, I guess I prefer John Brown to Cole Beasley just because Cole Beasley's like fine. He's just a solid, like, you know, he's like what we've talked about. Like, he's, you know, he's Tariq Cohen. Like, he's a guy that will get you, you know, he's a usable flex. It's sort of what we talked about with James White earlier. He's a usable flex play, but we're trying to win a league here. We're trying to swing for the fences. So John Brown, if something were to happen to Diggs, but John Brown got a tremendous target share that's going to come down this year, right? So I don't think so. You know, I mean, nothing more than, again, one of those late run flyers. And there's other guys that I like more. I have John Brown at wide receiver 46 right now. Yeah. I do think Dawson Knox is sort of interesting. Again, there's a lot of these kind of young tight ends that are going late in drafts. And so I would add him in the same mix as the Blake Jarwin's, Ian Thomas, Jonnu Smith's, you know, that kind of range there. But look, he had 10 different games where he threw out three more targets. He averaged over 7 fantasy points per game. He's a baller too, just when you watch the tape.
Right. But you know, here's for those that are less familiar with Dawson Knox, high school quarterback, did not get recruited at all, goes to Ole Miss, plays tight end, athletic freak. Didn't have a single touchdown in college. So he did score his first touchdown in a long time last year. The Bills are a really fun team this year. I can't wait to watch them. We're going to have a little trivia in just a moment. Before we do that, We're going to go right back.
Thirsty Kyle spent all this time looking it up. So I just saw this. I just saw this text, Thirsty Kyle. Sorry. Okay. Devin Singletary got just 6 of 38 Buffalo goal-to-go carries in 2019.
Interesting.
Just 6. Okay. So there you go. Thirsty Kyle did the work. I want to reward that. He's all alone with crackers in the bunker.
Right.
Poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
surviving. There you go. Have you had one yet? Nope.
No, I'm in my second sleeve.
You're rationing.
I'm with 4. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Well done. All right. So before we have our trivia, we're going to head back to the Chateau de Cône with Stefania with some words from our friends. Excellent work, as always, from Starfania. I have been told reliably that the Chateau de Cône is protected by ADT. So that was, if there was ever an endorsement,
which you need
right
to.
There.
I mean, like, the paparazzi's always around. Like, it fans are out there constantly holding out signs and shirts, hoping she'll come by and sign a little bit, trying to get a catch of Rico as she takes him. You know, it's a massive yard.
Yes.
It's a big yard.
Yeah, it's a big yard.
I believe we have time for just a quick social question or two, Daniel.
Yeah. Stefania, do you want to respond to that real quick while we're making fun of you?
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought up Rico. It's his birthday today, so you can give him a shout out. He's 1 year old.
Happy birthday, Rico.
Lots of beeps and bones for him today.
Rico.
All right.
100%.
First social question we have comes from Jason. How early would you take Lamar Jackson in a 2QB league? And what is your general strategy for the position in a league like this?
I'd say as soon as pick 2, maybe even pick 1.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a 2QB, the Scott Fishbowl. I had pick 1. I took McCaffrey. But yeah, I think pick 2.
I had pick 2. I took Lamar.
Lamar, right. Yeah. Yeah. In that league.
Yeah.
So I think, again,
two quarterback league, Lamar or Mahomes should both be, you know, one of the top 5 picks, I think.
Okay, this last one comes from Icy King Badger. What are your thoughts on zero RB? I play in a 10-team non-PPR league, and I pick 9th.
Can I take it for a second to begin?
Yeah, by all means.
There are ways to win your league with zero RB strategy, by using the zero RB strategy. And there are a lot of really smart people in the fantasy community that are actually advocates for it. I just want to be consistent. We've spent the first 8 shows of this podcast talking about how this season you must value running backs, and you must do so heavily. So I am personally not in the zero RB follower this year. But, yeah, of course you can still win your league that way. I think there are safer bets by drafting running backs early.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% agree with Field. And just understand that zero RB gets thrown around a lot. There's a lot of misconceptions about it. It just means waiting on running back. It doesn't mean you don't draft running backs. It doesn't mean that you wait until round 10 to draft running backs. It just means you wait a little while.
I'll tell you, in a non-PPR league like this guy, it would be even harder for me to go zero RB because those are some of those pass catchers I'm looking for if I do wait on running back.
Right?
Yeah, I just think when you look at the depth of the positions, the value is at wide receiver. It's so deep. I think this is a year where it's tough to do zero RB. But I agree with Field. I've seen every type of strategy win.
Yeah.
It depends on execution.
Okay, we're going to send it on over to Kyle in the bunker for our Geico trivia of the day.
All right, we got some Josh Allen trivia today. He tied Cam Newton last year with 7 games with a rushing touchdown without having multiple passing touchdowns. 7 games in one season. Josh Allen, Cam Newton in 2011 did it. I want you to name the 3 guys that have done it 6 times in a single season.
Okay, 3 quarterbacks. Can we flash that back up there one more time?
That are tied.
Had at least 6 games.
3 quarterbacks that have had 6 games in which they've rushed for a touchdown without throwing for multiple scores.
Correct. Josh Allen, Cam Newton, both have done it 7 times in a season. I need who's tied for the 3rd most all time.
Okay.
2 are active, if that helps.
Oh, well, my answers so far are not good.
Giving you hints. Dropping breadcrumbs around
2
here.
2 are active. I'd probably know this better if I had a subscription to rotopass.com.
I'm just saying, yes. If you had a subscription to rotopass.com and you use the promo code 0600 for 10% off, you would be able to answer this question very, very easily. We just added Warren Sharp, Sharp
Football guy.
Analysis. So it's great. 6 great sites, 1 low price. Go to rotopass.com. This is so wrong.
God, Kyle, you are like. Can we get like what color is the sky trivia at some point?
I'll get them. They'll be easier as we go. I need to, you know, set the baseline here. I need to get a few right. Okay, that way, you guys don't get too much confidence.
Ladies first, Stefania Bell. Who do you have for your answers? You have to get 3.
What? I forgot my Sharpie, so you're not gonna be able to see it. I don't think.
What do you read? Can you read it out loud for us?
Can you read it?
Tyrod Taylor, Russell Wilson
is my.
Say it again, Stefania.
Tyrod Taylor is my like one that I'm confident about, but my other active is either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson. I think I'm going with Wilson. And then my not active is either Michael Vick or RG3. And okay. I guess I'll go with Vick.
I think you guessed like seven.
I think you got seven people in there, but I think our official answer is Wilson,
Tyrod Taylor,
and Michael Vick.
Tyrod. And Michael Vick.
Vick.
All right, Age Before Beauty is next. Matthew, you want to give us yours?
All right. So I wrote Tim Tebow.
Oh, good one.
Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Wow. Those are
excellent
some,
guesses.
Yeah, those are
my
guesses.
Those are my guesses. Yeah. Tebow, I brought up. Like,
yeah,
Tebow, Tyrod's a great guess, Stefania. I'm mad at myself for not guessing Tyrod.
Here we go. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and Steve Young are my three guesses. Kyle, did we all get it wrong?
I almost went with Steve Young.
One of you got one answer correct, and that would be the first person to go. Stefania Bell is the only one to get any of the right answers.
God, what an obscure question.
Right.
I almost said Jameis, but it's like all he does is just throw like garbage touchdowns.
Jameis is always a good trivia answer.
So who was...
Jameis Winston, Tyrod Taylor, and Donovan McNabb.
Oh, my God. I felt so good about the Tebow answer.
Stefania gets one, I think. I think she won that one because she's the only one with the right answer.
He's had six rushing touchdowns multiple years, Tebow did.
Well done by Kyle with great ideas. We are told right now, zero show violations. I might take that one to task. I'll have to go back and review the tape.
I take that as an L for me.
Yeah, I think
honestly, I think it's an L.
We are back tomorrow as we finish up the AFC East with the Dolphins and the Jets. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could. Jailbait Field
Yates. You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Media.